is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour two of the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings, live on VSiN and DraftKings Network, alongside Michael Lombardi, who's out at his office in Jersey. Stormy Bonatoni here in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Lots to get to over the course of the next hour. Excited to have Jason LaCanfora join us in just a little bit. Covers the Ravens and the NFL closely for the Washington Post, as well as 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Lots of NFL talk and an update on our poll. If you haven't checked it out already, head to at M. Lombardi NFL on Twitter, on X, whatever you want to call it. We are asking our audience, who's the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC? The tabulation so far, Michael: the Bengals at 7-1, getting 42% of the vote. The former top seed Ravens at plus 550, 33% of the vote. The Texans at 13.6%, and the Buffalo Bills at 11.3%. We've got about 800 votes in right now. Michael, does that order sound about right to you, what you anticipated from fans at this point?
I think there's no question, because, you know, we said this in the last hour that Josh Allen has struggled to beat the Chiefs. They've had 13 seconds that whittled away. Yeah. They had them beat. They lost. They had a chance to go to overtime from the 26-yard line. That whittled away. They lost, right? They've been in position. The team that has been able to cash out and win are the Cincinnati Bengals. Even when they're down at halftime, they come storming back and win a game in overtime in Arrowhead twice. You know, they had a chance to beat them again. And they get a horrible, and it was a call. It was a fair call. The pass, the intentional roughing, and the punt return. Those two plays are the reason that the Chiefs were able to find a way to win that game. So I think people see the Bengals as a team that's capable of winning in Arrowhead, whereas Buffalo, based on prior results, you just can't say that. And for whatever reason, Baltimore's a wonderful team during the regular season. They just have not been able to find their footing in the postseason. A lot of it has to do with the fact that they are so good at playing from in front. I think they had a plus 141 point differential in the first half. And then it went up to, you know, they ended up with a plus 50 third quarter point differential. So this is a team that gets stronger, but for some reason, come playoff time, they panic a little bit, like what the Cowboys did. They panicked and they tried to play a style of game that's not conducive to who they are.
You know, Michael, and our audience who has chimed in the comments on this agreeing as well. Brian Zakowski said it should be the Ravens as the biggest threat to the Chiefs, but they continually come up short in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson, 2-4 as a starter in the postseason, despite having the top seed twice. A couple other comments that have come in here: the Browns, if Watson figures it out, they're another ifers. Browns, if they get solid QB play and Chubb is back to 100% midseason or so. Another interesting comment here from Josh Gilley said, as a Chiefs fan, we're all eyeballing the September 22nd game against the reigning Super Bowl champion Atlanta Falcons. Veach is losing sleep having to go against Fontenot's all-decade lineup. Somebody knows you very well, it appears.
Yeah, well, they listen, and I certainly appreciate that. Thank you very much. And I think, to me, this is what I was having discussion with a bunch of people in the league the other day about Atlanta. Like, where is it? Where does this show me on paper? I know Cousins is an improvement over Desmond Ridder. I don't deny that. But show me how this is all going to change based on what they've done. And I think that's one of the things when you look at the Ravens and you say to them, okay, like, give me the reason why we're going to change. Is it going? I mean, they struggled in the first half against Houston. We know this, right? And they weren't able to figure out exactly how they were going to play, because playoff football is completely different than regular season football. And I think you have to be prepared for that. And, you know, they're so used to playing from in front. Like I mentioned, they had 142 point differential in the first half. Yeah. And then in the third quarter alone, they have a 59 point differential. But the other question I think about Baltimore that has to be addressed, and I'm interested to hear what Jason LaCanfora says on this, is for as great as Justin Tucker is, as great as he is, last year he was 1-for-5 outside the 50.
Yes.
And that's not Tucker-like.
Yes, that 100%. I think that's a great question. We can follow up with him. And let's keep going down this Ravens path here. Oh, and by the way, we know the Atlanta Falcons are in the NFC. But just a fun comment talking about the grand scheme of things is obviously the Chiefs are the reigning Super Bowl champions. But to go down this Ravens mark, in the last segment to close out hour one, we were talking about lasting impressions going through each of these contenders in the AFC's playoff exits last season. We didn't get a chance to get to the Ravens. So let's talk about that game a little bit more, because as you have already referenced, they got away from their offensive identity that led them to this point in what ultimately ended up being a 17-10 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Ravens had just 16 carries, five of which were Lamar Jackson scrambles, by the way, just three designed runs after halftime, I believe. And it was a significant reason with which the Ravens lost this game. And you also think about them being the top scoring defense in the NFL last season. They only allowed 17 points to the Chiefs, so they did their part. Teams prior, so going into this game, were 18-0 since 2004 when allowing 17 or fewer points in a conference championship game. If your defense does that, you should not be losing that game.
No, and look, in the first half, they had nine rushes, four of them by Lamar Jackson, right? And so the Chiefs in the first half alone had 18 rushes. And what the Chiefs showed was the discipline that champions need. They knew Baltimore wasn't great in run defense. They had 18 carries for 60 yards in the first half. 18 for 60. If I would have told you who had 18 for 60 and who had 9 for 46, you would say, well, it's probably the Chiefs are 9 for 46. But that wasn't the case. And I think they panicked. They're only down 17-10. You know, they're only down by that. And, you know, they were able to, what I think really punched them. And, you know, it's the old Mike Tyson line. You know, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. I think the opening drive, they got the ball back, you know, after the Ravens went three and out. The Chiefs get the ball back. They go 10 plays, touchdown. They get the ball again, 16 plays, touchdown. I think it's stunned Baltimore. And it kind of is a, like, you have to be honest here and say their mental toughness wilted.
Yeah.
You know, because usually when you get stung like that, I can remember in 14 when we were playing Baltimore and they come out and touchdown and build a 14-point lead on us. You're stunned. You're on the canvas. You know, you're trying to put your mouthpiece back in your mouth with the blood coming out of your face, you know, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. You know, but Baltimore got it back to 14-7. So they're right in the game. And then, you know, they decided to just alter what they did. I thought it was a lack of experience in big game situations by Todd Monken. You can blame Lamar. And certainly he deserves blame for inability to play and throw the football effectively. But the plan and adjustment of the plan wasn't there.
Correct, Michael. And I mean, so they rushed for 81 yards in the game, which snapped a streak of 35 straight games with which they had 100 or more. At the time, it was the fifth longest in NFL history, including the playoffs. But what I think some people are forgetting as well is, like, let's remember last year the Chiefs also had a top five secondary in the NFL. So it's not just the fact that you get away from your identity, but you get away from your identity and start going pass happy against one of the best defensive backfields in the league. It just doesn't make sense. It's nonsensical. Win total. Go ahead.
It makes no sense at all, especially when you consider that the two, when they were able to get it going, you know, when they were able to get things going, they ran the football. They had two power runs in the game where they got it and they were able to, they ran for 15 yards and yet they got away from it for whatever reason. They got away from it. And I think to me, that's the biggest issue. When they got it back to 14-7, right? You know, they went for, you know, Lamar Jackson threw it to Mark Andrews for 9 yards. Yeah. And then, you know, they ran for 21 yards. Lamar went power for 21. Okay. Mm-hmm. They come back the next play. They run Gus Edwards on a power, the same power, but not the quarterback power. He goes for 15. And then he makes the loose play to Zay Jones for the touchdown. They got away from it, Stormy. They did exactly what Dallas did. They panicked. And I think what happens to teams in playoff games is they want the game to be over quickly. You we're the better team. Let's get this thing over. And if it doesn't go well at first, everybody starts to panic and the players get tight. Wait a minute, what's happening here? What's going on? And you know, the mark of a true champion is how you overcome these things, like, you know, what you have to do to win a title. You're gonna have to overcome, like Kansas City did in the Super Bowl.
One other comment here from @NickelFritz1375 said people want to discount Baltimore because of the playoff loss, but if they get a full season of Andrews and Henry doesn't fall off a cliff, I can't see them taking a step back. Bengals have a lot to prove health-wise. And I think that's the next layer of this, right? So obviously they get away from the run game in the AFC Championship game, but then this offseason they add a guy like Derrick Henry to that offensive backfield. And obviously, when you add someone like him, you're going to continue placing that emphasis on the run game. And if you have him on the field, you're not going to stray away from that, especially with the running ability that Lamar Jackson has as well. 13 wins for Baltimore last year. They obviously earned the top seed in the AFC. Win total this season sitting at 10.5. A lot of people think they're a team to take a step back. I personally don't. I think things will come together for this team. I do think even with a new defensive coordinator that they were the top scoring defense in the league, right? It's natural for there to be some regression, but how much? I don't think it's going to be as significant as some people think. I have them getting to the AFC Championship game, being in the Super Bowl as far as my pick in the NFL betting guide this year. Tyler Shoemaker here at VSiN, he chimed in the comments as well, saying in his T-Shoe Index, which is like an analytics and performance power rating system that he has Baltimore number one. So I like that. That makes me feel a little bit better here. But the AFC, I think, is going to be a very, very interesting conference this year. And I'm excited to get football going. They had rookies report, I believe, to camp yesterday. So Baltimore already getting the wheels turned in training camp will be here before we know it.
Yeah, I mean, look, they play in the Hall of Fame game along with Houston. So it's starting quick. And look, let's be clear. One thing, if you sign Derrick Henry and you don't give him the ball, that's your own fault.
No question about it. Also wanted to mention while we are on the Ravens, it is a sad day for the organization. Jacoby Jones, legendary Super Bowl punt returner, passed away. Our condolences there. We're going to talk more Baltimore with Jason Lockenfora coming up.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NFL preseason is just weeks away, and lucky for you, our VSiN experts have been hard at work all offseason putting together our new VSiN NFL betting guide. We've got comprehensive team profiles with power ratings and win total predictions, proven betting systems and trends like how to win with betting splits, plus top picks for season win totals, futures, props, awards, markets, and more. But in order to get the guide, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. And for a limited time, we're offering a special deal. You can get a full year of VSiN Pro for just $199 instead of the usual $240. And as a special bonus, we're throwing in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of access to everything VSiN has to offer, including the daily best bets, round-the-clock video content, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and of course, our special edition betting guides, the NFL guide out now, the college football betting guide coming out in short order. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe today. In order to get the discount and that extra month, use our code Lombardi, VSIN.com/subscribe, promo code Lombardi alongside Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni as we welcome you back to this Sunday morning edition of the Lombardi Line. Very pleased to keep our all things AFC conversation going, talking Baltimore Ravens, the team that was the top seed in the AFC a season ago. Jason Lockenfora joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. 105.7 The Fan, Baltimore, Washington Post NFL Insider. So who better to get the lowdown on all things Baltimore Ravens? Welcome in, Jason. How are we doing today?
What's going on, guys? Hope you're having a great weekend.
Thank you for joining us, Jason. So we've been just talking about the additions and maybe the panic of Baltimore in that playoff game, only 9 carries in the first half. You know, what's your view of what Derrick Henry, how are they going to play him? Are they going to be more of a pistol team? Because Henry's not a shotgun running back.
No.
He is a true under center or pistol. Yeah. So from what you've seen in minicamps, have they altered the offense?
Well, look, they're not showing a whole heck of a lot right now, Mike. And I think they want to kind of hold this under wraps. I don't think you're going to see Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson or, you know, a lot of their key skill players on the field until week one. But they have, it's more like what they've said. And they have been somewhat forthright in at least conceding the obvious, which is that during the totality of his time in Tennessee, no running back was under center more than Derrick Henry. And during that same period of time, at least the Lamar Jackson era, no team has been in the pistol or shotgun more than the Baltimore Ravens. They are complete extremes, and something's going to have to give. And look, I don't think Derrick Henry's going to be here for a whole, you know, for a long time. It's all about this year. Yeah. So I think they're going to have to meet him in the middle. And I think the key to them offensively is going to be, how do they win with heavy personnel on the field? And not just running the ball, where you've got Lamar Jackson and you've got, you know, a freak of nature, 300-pound fullback in Pat Ricard, and now you've added Derrick Henry. Like, they're going to be able to bully some people on the ground. Like, they were doing that when they weren't paying running backs $9 million a year. Like, running efficiency's never been a problem here. It's kind of interesting that that's where they threw $9 million. Like, they ain't going to run this year, even with Derrick Henry, the way they did 2 years ago with a collection of running backs. But whatever. But can they win in 12 and 13 passing the ball? You know, this all this talk about Lamar and the deep ball. Like, who cares? They don't have wide receivers. Can they get Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews activated in the pass game at the same time? Not when one guy's hurt and the other guy becomes, you know, Mr. Reliable. Can they do that consistently? And then you get a little bit from Flowers and maybe you get a little bit from Bateman, but they need to win with those two tight ends on the field. And you know, you can use guys as jokers. Is Likely really a receiver? Is he really a tight end? What's Pat Ricard doing now? The deception that Lamar gives you inherently with his skill set. You put all that together and it makes it interesting, but I don't think it's going to be about last year when it was like, hey, we're a real passing team and we're going to win in 11 personnel and we've got three or four receivers we can win with. Nah, that's garbage.
Washington Post NFL insider Jason Lockenfora joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. On the other side of the ball, another big question about this team is, what's the defensive unit going to look like under Zach Orr as Mike McDonald moves on, takes a head coaching job with the Seattle Seahawks? A lot of folks think there's going to be regression, that this defense is going to take a step back. I said in the last segment, well, when you're the number one scoring defense, that's the only way you can go.
Yeah.
But I still feel like there's a lot of talent on that side of the ball. How do you view the defense of the Ravens this year?
Well, it has the potential to be a very good unit, and they have been consistently very good or better for a long time. But no, they're not winning a triple crown this year. They're not going to lead the league in sacks, takeaways, and points allowed. Like, it's never happened in the history of the league, right? No one won it before. They ain't winning it back-to-back years, not with the brain drain that left the building and not with the talent exodus that left the building. And look, Mike McDonald became – an elite defensive coordinator, and he did it very quickly, but he had a level of training at the college and pro level that far exceeds Zach Orr. Now, Zach Orr played the game at an incredibly high level, and the players will come into the day one running through walls for him, but like, it took McDonald a good half season to get his bearings. And in the meantime, the defense was getting exposed. Marcus Peters was throwing his helmet on the sidelines. They were getting picked apart in the fourth quarter. It was blown coverages. The guys couldn't adjust to what he was asking them to do. It was a bit of a bleak show, so much so that they mortgaged a future draft to get Roquan Smith. So the idea that Zach Orr is going to come in here and this defense is going to pick up where it left off without Patrick Queen, you know, without Jadeveon Clowney, you know, without what Darby gave him last year, is Marlon Humphrey going to be a football player this year? Like, there's a lot of question marks. Like, so yes, I think there's talent. I think they're smart. They're a good organization, but the offense better come out of the gates firing like it did last year, because this defense, there's going to be an incubation period, and they're going to give up more points and they're going to create less big plays than last year. That's just reality for them.
And there's no guarantee they can stop the run, which is really was their Achilles heel, but teams got behind in them and they couldn't run the football.
Yes.
Talk to us about the offensive line. I know, you know, that Ronnie Stanley's been one of their most high-priced players of all time who never plays. And this offensive line is going to go through some changes. Talk to us about what you expect from this offensive line.
Well, that's the big question mark. I mean, we talk about position battles and camp battles. They've got a lot to figure out. I mean, the center is great. When you draft the center as high as they did, he should be great. I don't know that Ronnie Stanley's making it through the season at left tackle. You know, Pat McCary gives them a solid backup at all five positions. But, like, the guards, you know, that – they drafted this kid Voorhees. They drafted him hurt. If he doesn't win one of these guard spots this year, you know, they did it a year ago, then something's wrong. They think Rosengarten's a plug-and-play right tackle. you know, can he give them what Morgan Moses gave them last year? I don't think that's a crazy ask, maybe by the second half of the season. But left tackle's got to be a concern. You know, Ben Cleveland, is he a failed project, or can he at least take up some space as a guard? They've got to sort that out, and they've got to do it relatively quickly. I don't know, Mike. Like, when you have Lamar Jackson, you know, I think a lot of this kind of just goes away. Like, they find ways to make plays. But the left tackle situation is huge, and I'm dying to see who they rep up there as the number two. Like, are they going to give somebody a ton of reps this summer, knowing that Ronnie Stanley's a ticking time bomb? When you take the kind of haircut that Ronnie Stanley took to come back here, there was nothing out for you there for you anywhere else in the league. So there's got to be real concern about what kind of play they get there. The guards, who cares? You know, right tackle, they rotated right tackles in the past and going to the playoffs. But they better have a real left tackle somewhere on this roster.
Win total for the Ravens set at 10.5 after a 13-win season. They're the second shortest shot in the AFC, third shortest shot to win a Super Bowl in 2024-25. And you look at Lamar Jackson, who's a two-time NFL MVP, but nothing to show for it from the team standpoint. No. 2-4 in the playoffs. Is there any common theme or thread that you've seen from the postseason performances that have led you to understand why they haven't been able to get over that hump?
Well, they panic and they freak out. It's like they forget who they are and what got them there. And they want to show off, and they want to show you that they can win in other ways. And, you know, even going back to the Tennessee game, the year they went 14-2, like, they, even with Greg Roman there, then they started freaking out. They fell behind a little bit early, a big play action bomb from Tannehill, and they lose the plot. It's almost like they don't believe enough in who they are that it can win in the playoffs. Like, it's almost like they wonder themselves, like, is this stuff really just good for September, October, November, December? And they've got a different coordinator now. And you would think that Todd Monken, who really wants to throw the ball, you would have some concern that maybe they default to that. But with the way they ran the ball last year and with the way the Chiefs were set up, they could have bullied them. They didn't even try. So I don't know, guys. Last year, to me, a lot of it was on Lamar. And yeah. Lamar hasn't played a complete playoff game yet. You know, he played one half at home against Houston this year. But even that game, the first half, he was brutal. So that's it. All anybody cares around here is January. Like, win totals, where they finish in the division. Like, they're probably going to get in the playoffs. They should get in the playoffs. Can they do damage in the playoffs? And if they can't, maybe there's macro levels to be asked here. But I don't think this owner is going to fire anybody or do anything until he sells the team. So.
Jason, you're awesome. Thank you so much for the time today, my friend.
My pleasure, guys.
Thank you, Jason.
And the Baltimore Ravens are, of course, facing off with the Kansas City Chiefs game one. The Chiefs laying 3 in that spot, total 47. We're going to get the KC side of things when we come back. Aaron Ladd joining us next on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are back rolling along on the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonatoni with you. An update on our poll. If you haven't voted yet, the poll is up at M. Lombardi NFL on X, asking which team is the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC this year. The Cincinnati Bengals, a narrow winner to this point with 42.7% of the vote. The Baltimore Ravens sitting there at 32.4%. I did laugh at one comment, though, that came through that said the Chiefs are the only team that can stop the Chiefs, Michael. Does that sound about right to you? Because it truly, it does feel like this Kansas City team, even last year, for example, when it felt like they were at their most vulnerable, they still end up going all the way to the Super Bowl and winning it. Are they the biggest threat to themselves with some of the other things that they've had going on?
Well, I do think that they are, in the sense that they have to find a way to play perfectly. I don't think that they are good in the offensive line, particularly at left tackle. Their skill positions are still something that I think they're working their way through. But they have Patrick Mahomes, and their defense, if Chris Jones plays the level that he's played at in the past, is still elite. Now, they're going to move McDuffie outside the corner. We'll see how that works out. He's an elite inside corner. And I think, to me, they won with defense. Just look at that Baltimore game. They won with defense. They shut out Baltimore in the second. They didn't score in the second half and still won the game.
Well, let's get into it as Aaron Ladd joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line, sports anchor at KSHB 41 in Kansas City, covers this team extremely closely. Great friend of the show. Aaron, we threw up the poll. Who's the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC? How do you view the Chiefs' pursuit of a Super Bowl three-peat, and are they still in the driver's seat for you in the conference?
Appreciate y'all having me on, first and foremost. I don't know who the biggest threat to KC is, especially in the AFC. It's hard not to look at Baltimore, the team they were last year. Ultimately, we know that game was tight down the stretch. And there may be a healthy Cincinnati, the two teams that KC opens up with this year as the two toughest tests inside the conference. You guys mentioned on the lead-in, how do they replace L'Jarius Sneed and the production left behind him along that defense? He was known for lining up against the number one receiver on the other side, let it be Justin Jefferson, let it be Ja'Marr Chase, let it be Tyreek Hill. It didn't matter. He won those matchups time and time again. So, yes, it's a big ask for Trent McDuffie, who's entering his third year in the league. Can he be that captain? Can he be that vocal leader? Can he be Steve Spagnuolo on the field for KC's defense? But offensively, I think they are set up for success, especially considering how god-awful the wide receiver room last year. You get Hollywood Brown, you draft Xavier Worthy. I think that he can make a step in that department, and maybe it covers up some of the things they need to do defensively.
All right, well, let's talk left tackle. I mean, to me, I see it as a glaring concern. You know, I'm not saying Donovan Smith, Aaron played well last year, but I don't think Taylor played well at right tackle last year. And now Taylor, if he lines up on the line of scrimmage and not in the backfield, that might work. But what is the left tackle situation in terms of the young rookie and then Moses, who was they drafted 2 years ago?
Yeah, they're rolling with the youth experience right now for KC. Donovan Smith is still a free agent. There were some rumors about a former Packer who might end up in Kansas City. But as for right now, the rookie out of BYU, Kingsley Suamataia, and Wanya Morris are the two tackle options for KC. I actually talked with Jason Kelsey earlier this week about this exact thing. He's a veteran who's played on championship offensive lines. How would you feel if you're trying to protect your franchise with a rookie guy? And he says they got to learn their lumps at some point. You know, you drafted these guys to come in and play and learn from some of the players along the offensive line. They love BYU guys. Andy loves BYU guys, his connection there. But I'm kind of like you. I got to see it when the bullets are flying. I got to see it in training camp. Andy Reid's known for having one of the toughest training camps in all the National Football League. We'll find out early if these guys are ready for play, and then KC can go from there.
And, you know, what will that look like for them early on in the season? I wonder, because they have had slow starts. You know, I wonder if that Super Bowl hangover to an extent is a real thing. They obviously open at Baltimore, Cincinnati, at Atlanta, the Chargers with this new look and identity and culture under Jim Harbaugh. They have at San Francisco in week 7. I mean, they've got three division favorites in their first 7 weeks that they're going up against as well. Like, how do you anticipate this team getting out the gates?
It could take some time for them to all get on the same page, but we've seen that from KC before. I mean, if you look at last year, they looked bad at times. Kadarius Toney's not lining up onside. Patrick Mahomes is frustrated after the Buffalo loss, throwing his helmet everywhere. This was not a team that looked like a championship contender at all points in time. Last year, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe they had to work out some lumps, especially along that offensive line. You got young players, new players trying to come into the mix, but the expectations are clear. It's Super Bowl or bust, and that's set from front office, quarterback, Travis Kelce. Everybody's on the same page about what the expectations are. I think you find out who your guy is along the offensive line, left tackle-wise in training camp, and you hope for the best going into a tough regular season stretch.
Aaron, are you sold they're better at wide receiver? I know you mentioned Hollywood Brown earlier, but are they better? Kadarius Toney, I mean, are they going to give up on this one because it hasn't really worked out? But do you feel like when I thought that brought Hardman back, I kind of felt like, wait a minute, we're missing some things, and how good Worthy can be? Is he going to be able to play right away?
I am sold at them being better at wide receiver. If you consider where they were last year, MVS is now in Buffalo. They led the league in drops with over 50. I think we're going to look back in a couple months and say, how did we let Hollywood Brown end up in Kansas City? This is a guy that hit the ground running, working with Patrick Mahomes at his camp pat down in Tyler, Texas during the OTA periods. All the videos, all the talk we heard during OTAs and mandatory minicamp about was just how much he was absorbing. He's a sponge in the wide receiver room. And there was no doubt about it. It was ugly at points last year. Not just Kadarius Toney. That Sky Moore has not filled up to his expectations being a second round draft pick. They were wondering where the production was going to come from, but Rashee Rice stepped up. I know the latest reports are that, yes, while the suspension is looming for him from the driving incident in Dallas, he could play as much as the entire regular season or the entirety of the upcoming season before he sees a suspension. I think if you consider his second-year production, Hollywood Brown being added to the mix, Xavier Worthy, oh, yeah, ran the fastest 40 time of any player ever at the NFL Combine. I'm absolutely sold on Patrick Mahomes being able to take that group to an AFC Championship game because that's the floor for him, right?
It was fun to watch that Xavier Worthy, like to relive that from the 40 during the Giants Hard Knocks this past week. And, you know, seeing the thought process of some of the NFL GMs and scouts as he went to do it again and what that meant. I love that. How surprised were you, by the way, that it was the Buffalo Bills helping make that happen for Kansas City, by the way?
Couldn't believe it. I could not believe my eyes. I'm in the Chiefs media capability or whatever. When I saw that came across the screen, I couldn't believe it, especially considering how contentious this rivalry has been, the 13 seconds game and in the latest installment where they missed the kick left. And Buffalo one day is going to stop answering phone calls that come from Kansas City area codes.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I don't understand. You know, we know the Patriots were interested in making that move. They were trying to trade up to get Worthy. And so you got to figure that everybody knew it in the Buffalo draft room. And yet they chose to give Andy Reid another player. What is your sense of where Kelce is health-wise? I know that he's been touring with Taylor, but where is he health-wise, and what is his conditioning like? I know he works hard when he gets there.
I was kind of surprised to see him at some of the optional team activities earlier in the offseason. Usually this is, you know, the time of the year where the veteran guys, the Chris Jones, the Patrick Mahomes, the Travis Kelce, you know, they may show up once or twice a week. But, you know, for them to for Travis to be there 3 days a week during an optional period as they go for this three-peat, I think it really kind of sets that championship standard that we were talking about earlier. Like, the whole building is buzzing about this one thing. All the focus, all the energy, all the attention, all the moves, all the transactions are to achieve something that no other team has done before, and that's do a three-peat. And Travis did sign an extension this offseason. I know a lot of people aren't kind of talking about that anymore, but they basically gave him a big raise, a long overdue raise, a raise that he had kind of talked about to Variety and some of these other magazines in the past about wanting to be top-end market. Well, he's top-end market now, and he's definitely setting that leadership aspect for KC. Health-wise, I think he's going to be ready to grow. He was dealing with some kind of, like, knee injury at the beginning of last year, missed banner night, and ended up starting week two in Jacksonville. All purposes and all things look like he's going to be ready to go for training camp for St. Joe, which starts Tuesday for Kansas City.
And even with all of that and the world tour with Taylor Swift, still made time to win a karaoke competition at the American Century. So good on Travis Kelce. We've only got about 20 or 30 seconds left with you, Aaron, but I know you are a Mizzou man. Their schedule, unbelievable. I had to do a double take when I looked at it. Could they be a CFP team this year? What do you think?
We've got playoff expectations in Columbia. Luther Burden, Brady Cook, Theo Weiss, Eli Drinkwitz has been doing some recruiting out there. I'm excited to see what they can do this year in college football.
You're the man, Aaron. Thanks so much for your time, pal.
Awesome. Thanks, Aaron.
Appreciate
y'all.
Y'all
be easy.
Win total for the Tigers set at 9.5. They avoid Georgia. They avoid Texas, Ole Miss, LSU, Tennessee. He mentioned the talent. I don't hate it. I'm just saying. That's a segment we still got to work on, by the way. I'm just saying. I'm ready for it. Okay,
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
I'm just saying. Oh, I guess that could work too. See, we're cooking with gas. We got ideas going here. We're going to hit the break, wrapping things up on this Sunday edition of the Lombardi Line when we return on VSiN.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, you'll love all of our betting tools and content available each and every day at VSiN.com. Best bets from all of our show hosts, experts, and analysts, updated and timely betting splits, exclusive articles, betting tools, odds by state, betting guides, and so much more. Speaking of guides, our VSiN NFL betting guide out now. The college football betting guide will be here before you know it. Head to VSiN.com today. And of course, we cover just about everything you can think of on VSiN.com. Wimbledon previews were there.
We have
hot dog contest. We have a winner in Wimbledon, by the way. Carlos Alcaraz does beat Novak Djokovic in back-to-back years at Wimbledon, which is pretty dang cool from that standpoint, Michael. But we're an NFL show, so we're going to leave the tennis to the tennis people.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, but it is, you know, it's one of those places. I think there are places in the world you want to go see and experience, yeah. And Wimbledon is one of them. Center court at Wimbledon, it's a little bit like when I was in Australia to go to the cricket stadium and be able to walk around there. And I mean, it was enormous. And 100,000 people sit there and watch cricket and do all that. So, or Rod Laver Court in downtown Melbourne. So there are certain things, and even if you don't have to be a fan of tennis to appreciate the power of Wimbledon.
And to your earlier point, Michael, some people's Wimbledon, like my Wimbledon, is the hot dog eating contest. And on my bucket list is to go to Coney Island on the corner of Surf and Stillwell. One
you
day it'll
to.
Happen.
Yes.
One day.
A broken dream. There's so many good spots to hit. Yeah, well, you'll get to Brooklyn and go to all the good fancy, good eating spots in Brooklyn, Coney Island. I mean, you know, that'd be awesome. Then you come down to Jersey Shore and hang out, and you can do karaoke with us.
Exactly. Oh, shout out Bill Berman, by the way.
I saw you mention Travis Kelce. So I saw you shout out the Kelce. I didn't realize he won the karaoke championship. Pretty impressive. I might have to put Bill Berman in that one against him.
He does need to learn from Taylor the proper positioning for how far a microphone should be from your mouth, though, because it was overmodulated the whole bit, but it was, here I go again. He was into it. It was very fun. Congratulations to Travis Kelce. I didn't know that was a thing that they did at the American Century, by the way, is apparently for the celebrity portion of it, they do a karaoke contest. All the celebs get together, they pick a song, and instead of it being a typical, you have the TV screen up with the songs and you play the tune, they have a live band there with people from Rascal Flatts and major band people. Like, this is big time. That's very cool.
I love it. I think it's great, don't you? I mean, it's unbelievable how they have all this. I did not realize until I got the karaoke machine for Bill Berman's birthday, not for mine, because I haven't participated in it one day, is how popular karaoke is. It's awesome.
What I was going to say earlier, too, was shout out Bill Berman. I appreciate him wishing me a happy birthday yesterday. He said, I got to make it out. He said, from Ocean City, New Jersey. And I said, I've got to make it out at some point to get that tomahawk on the grill or the homemade pizza or something like that. It's going, again, another thing that's going to happen, just like Coney Island is my bucket list, Ocean City is my bucket list. Absolutely. We will be there.
Yes, we need you here, Stormy. Yes.
Speaking of the Chiefs, let's get to our poll of the day, the final tabulation, where things sit on who is the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC in 2024. Our audience has weighed in. Drum roll, to the surprise of no one. It is the Cincinnati Bengals, who people view as the biggest threat with 42% of the vote. The Baltimore Ravens are the second choice here at 32%. I was surprised to see the Texans consistently edge the Bills in this despite, I mean, it's a small margin, 13.8% to 11.9%, but I thought the Bills might get a little bit more love here. And these results do coincide to an extent with the betting splits that have come through from DraftKings here. Kansas City has received the most handle, the highest percentage of bets. People have no problem taking the favorite on this Kansas City Chiefs team to win the AFC again, to three-peat in the Super Bowl, no problem despite the number. The Texans there, though, are the team that is getting the second most love in terms of the betting handle and bets. 15% coming in on Houston, the Ravens and Bengals there. How surprising is that to you, though? Houston getting the amount of love they are in year two of the D'Amico Ryan, CJ Stroud era.
Well, I mean, look, we saw their odds. I mean, the what was their number? 8.5 win
plus
total?
Plus 850. Oh,
and
yeah.
Then when they made, the Diggs trade and it went up to 9.5. Mm-hmm. I mean, they moved off the Diggs trade. It wasn't anything else but Diggs. And so receiver and what you did last year, if you do those two things, you're going to have a hell of an offseason. Of course, it's meaningless towards the win total, but you're going to have a hell of an offseason if you're able to do that. So I it doesn't surprise me at all because, you know, everybody is generated towards receivers, just hypothetically. And we talked about this in the last hour, but let's say the Jets trade for Devontae Adams. Let's just say that. Let's just play that game. Yeah, their odds are going to shift dramatically because everybody's going to think, oh, my God, now Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson together, and if Mike Williams, who's going to stop them, right? That's what everybody thinks. And then they don't realize that maybe if they Morgan Moses can't block at right tackle and If Tyron Smith can't block it left, it doesn't matter who you have at receiver.
Yeah. There were also a handful of voters in this poll, Michael, that did chime in talking about, hey, the AFC West might be a little bit more competitive now, specifically eyeing the Chargers and what is going to be a new look, culture, and identity under head coach Jim Harbaugh. Do you think that there's any chance that Los Angeles is a team that could truly be a playoff team and potential AFC contender coming off what was a pretty brutal season that cost Brandon Staley his job?
Oh, I definitely think so. The whole tenor of, I mean, they just moved into a brand new facility in El Segundo. So they're kind of finally back into their area. Everybody is kind of knows where they are. They have a great quarterback. I think Justin Herbert is certainly somebody. Again, all these quarterbacks have to be managed. I think one of the things that's reality sets in is you need, no matter how good of a quarterback you are, the game can't land on his shoulders. He needs help. I think Harbaugh understands that. They'll be better in the offensive line. I think they'll be sounder defensively. Look, we know Staley had a hard time getting the run defense under control. There was no physical toughness in Los Angeles with the Chargers. I keep calling them San Diego. I just feel like he's going to add it, and he's going to manage the game correctly. I know he's probably going to make many of the analytical community people upset because he won't go for it on every single fourth down like the great Brandon Staley did. But that being said, he's going to play smart football. And sometimes avoiding losing is how you win. And I think Jim does a really good job. Look, you don't have a 70% win percentage because you don't know how to win.
No question about it. And he has done the fast turnaround, too. It hasn't been a slow burn with Jim Harbaugh teams. The season win total for Los Angeles Chargers sitting at 8.5. They're plus 320 in the division. Yes, Kansas City is an odds on minus 230 number, but the Chargers, the second shortest shot there. To go back to the Cincinnati Bengals here briefly, we did have a little bit of a news item to close out the day on. T. Higgins, we knew, wasn't going to get a deal done, but with the deadline officially coming tomorrow, reports are, you know, firm as can be that, hey, he's going to be on the franchise tag this year. It is what it is. But with that, Michael, I think, and something that producer Elliot and I were kind of tossing back and forth in the break, is a lot of people look at the franchise tag, players specifically, as disrespect, that they're not getting the long-term deal extension, ultimately, whatever it is that they want. Still making $21 million. Like, the team clearly wants yeah. him, wants him to be a part of this push for a Super Bowl with a healthy Joe Burrow. So I don't look at it as all negative like some people have.
It's not all negative. And look, all he's got to do, he doesn't even need to have an elite season. He just needs to have a good year. And he's going to get his five-year contract at $31 million, $32 million. You could write down the number right now. You know, is he going to get 35 like Justin Jefferson? Justin Jefferson's really 32 when you right. don't add, when you count old money and everything into it. But I think that's the reality. I mean, he's going to get his deal. He's going to get it and probably will know the teams who are going to play it because they're going to have the cap room and they're going to want to go out and do it. So to me, if I'm T. Higgins' agent, I'm saying play you well. We're going to have you fully insured so that, your injury is not going to prevent you from making a lot of money. And your life is going to go on. And win is the most important thing because people, you know, show good leadership within there. Show that you're handling it well. Look, we know this. I mean, look at Javion Clowney signed for a cheap deal with the Baltimore Ravens last year coming in August. And next thing you know, he signs one of the best deals he signed with the Panthers. It's all about what can you do moving forward? And I think he'll do that.
Yeah. And this is a Cincinnati Bengals team with a lot of high expectations this year with Joe Burrow coming back healthy from his season ending injury a year ago. Obviously, this team did not make the playoffs last year, did not live up to the expectations they had set for them. Can they do it this season? And a couple of really talented wide receivers in that room. Anything that you're doing today to close out your weekend strong before you head out?
No, I have to go away for a speech on Monday and Tuesday, so I'll be working on that. No, I'm just going to enjoy the day. I think, you know, one thing we didn't mention this, Stormy. Football's starting next week. We got Ravens brought their rookies in. My sons are leaving to go back to work. Football's starting. That's the best part of July.
Yep, the two teams participating in the Hall of Fame game will also have veterans report this week. You got the Texans on Wednesday the 17th, the Bears on Friday the 19th. You mentioned Ravens rookies already there. We're here. All right, dog days of summer no more. I don't even think it existed at all, Michael.
Over.
Travel safe. We will miss you this week.
No, I think we got through it good.
Yes, we will miss you this week. Keep it locked right here on VSiN and DraftKings Network. The Handle coming up next.